The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, a tattoo artist in El Paso posted a video last week of strange electrical activity in the notoriously haunted Paso del Norte Hotel. Filmed from the outside of the hotel, lights can be seen flickering in one particular window while the rest of the building remains conspicuously dark. One of the most famous stories of the hotel involves a bride left at the altar, hurling herself from the upper floors. Her ghost is said to still inhabit the building. While there are of course, many other explanations for the video, there is something quietly eerie about a single light turning on and off in a dark and empty hotel in the middle the night. A couple that purchased Harrisville, the famously haunted house that inspired 2013's The Conjuring, say they are experiencing paranormal activity. One said, "We had doors opening, footsteps, and knocks. I've had a hard time staying there by myself. I don't have a feeling of anything evil, but it's very busy. You can tell there's a lot of things going on in the house." Well, if you purchase a haunted house, being haunted does seem like what would happen. In the 1970s, the Perrin family was living in the house and sought the help of Ed and Lorraine Warren after experiencing a series of increasingly disturbing events. Lastly, I'm sure you've all already heard about the Area 51 Facebook event. Some people created an event, Storm Area 51, on September 20th, they can't catch us, all of us, as a joke, and it became an internet meme. That's kind of all there is to it. No one is actually storming Area 51. Although, if anyone does show up, I think I left something in deep containment. It's a little black pyramid marked with a red X. If you find it, please don't open it, just send it to the radio station. It's KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading. Back to you, Chauncey.
I'm not sure Carl's going to be happy about that delivery.
I mean, it's fine as long as no one looks at it or thinks about it.
Or opens it or tells anyone they have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, so, you know, the Area 51.
I'll come 51, in on the Monday and I'll get it, okay? It'll be fine.
You know, this just says something about the world we live in that somebody proposed this Area 51 storming.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people took to it. You know,
yeah, 250,000 people signed up.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of those people, like, if I had signed up, I would have signed up, you know, like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't show up.
I mean,
up.
A lot of those people, I'm sure it's all of the people, basically.
Right. but, I mean, it shows you what times we live in, because not only is it weird that we feel the need to storm this place to get information from our government, that
many
people feel this way. But it's also a little weird that, I mean, how many of the comments based around this are pointing out how quickly we would all die? I mean, it is a base, isn't it?
I don't think that's 250,000 people. That's three times the size of Reading. So, like, if they all showed up, I don't think the military could stop them.
I mean,
somebody's how it would go.
Alien nerds, man, like me. I mean, have you seen how we're built? We're slow-moving large targets.
It doesn't matter. It's just a wall of bodies, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
But, so. I mean, what would actually happen, even if, you know, that many people did show up fully committed to storming the place, is, you know, a few hundred would die in a hail of bullets and bombs, and the rest would run.
Yeah,
if the rest didn't run, they would probably prevail, but, it takes...
Stick to it if it's.
Well, right. They train
some gusto only your grandpa had.
They train soldiers for years to, like, not run.
Right.
And it's still, like, a 50-50 chance, totally. You know, when their allies start getting shot, you know.
Right.
So just some random people probably not going to be able to.
Well, my daughter is 18 now, so I've been trained for 18 years not to run.
Oh, okay. That's a grim joke. Start the day.
All right, The Hauntings, man. I like this. You know, the first one, I'm all interested. I'm all, oh, cool, The Haunting. And then you hit The Conjuring. And,
yeah.
Of course, the movie guy that I am. That movie was absolutely awesomely terrifying.
I've never seen it, but I saw it. I'm like, oh, good. A story that Chauncey will have something to say about, because I do not.
You need to watch this movie. You like some of this creepy stuff.
That's true.
This movie is good, man.
Okay.
And I don't know how based in fact it is, you know.
So I was reading up on it, and it seems like they took really very few liberties, because basically all the people it happened to were involved in the film.
Well, they took a lot of liberties with the appearance of the Annabelle doll, that's for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. But in terms of the actual events that happened at this house,
right?
Like, the Warrens and the family that it happened to were all, like, that's consultants on the film.
Yeah.
So it's probably more true to the story than a lot of other, like, real-life horror things.
Right. The doll in real life looks like Raggedy Ann. It doesn't look like a marionette sort of thing from that movie Dead Silence, you know.
No, I haven't seen it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the doll was, like, the case that the Warrens were coming from, dealing with this doll, but it...
No, the doll is referenced in the movie, but it's not what the movie is about.
Right,
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually a couple of ghosts referenced in the movie, you know, that they've actually spun off,
that
like the nun and the... Umbrella thing, and, you know, there's a few spin-offs from it.
Jeez. As far as paranormal investigators go, I tell you, the Warrens must have been some of the most financially successful ever.
Yeah, I don't
know. What with all these movies spun off their investigations?
Well, I think they're both dead, so they're
Yeah, they are. I reported on that a while ago, but, you know.
Yeah, and who's the director? Same guy that directed... Iron Man?
Oh, gosh darn it.
I'm getting it mixed up with John Woo.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
Who's an action director and did Face Off.
Oh, John Favreau, however you say it.
No, it's the last name is closer with my guess of John Woo.
Oh, okay.
All right, so today we have one of our favorite topics coming on. We have, I'm going to read this directly so that we get it all. We get James Keenan. And the topic is ancient anomalies pointing to past worldwide catastrophic events.
Ooh.
Basically, catastrophic events in the past that have weird business going on around them that really doesn't line up.
I'm into it.
I am totally into it, as everyone who knows me knows. You know, this is definitely my favorite topic, so... spending my evening talking about ancient aliens. Oh, I got to tell you, before we come up on commercial break, as I was walking out the door, my wife was reading on Facebook, and a bunch of people were posting about an oddly blurry cloud. So,
I didn't hear anything about the oddly blurry cloud.
Yeah, but all the other clouds were like crisp, but there's this one floating in the middle that's like oddly blurry.
Well, stop the presses.
Well, I don't know, Nibiru.
It's clearly Nibiru.
You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that it could be.
It's
you know?
The government using its cloud blurification technology.
Cloud blurification technology?
Yeah. They don't know what it's for, but they built it and they're testing it.
Yeah, CBT, not to be mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get whacked for mentioning the blurifying machines on the radio, you know.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to be talking to James Keenan about ancient anomalies pointing to past wide world catastrophic events right here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Since she was Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Dude, look what just popped up on my timeline. Dude, I was just thinking about the Charbroiled Double Deals from Carl's Jr. California Classic Double Cheeseburger, Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger, and the Double Cheeseburger. Three mouthwatering burgers for only $2.99 each. How did they know we were starving? How did they know I only have about $2.99 in my wallet? It's the algorithm, man. He knows everything. Whoa, wait. Who's the algorithm?
Charbroiled Double Deals, only at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time. Price and participation may vary. Price higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, James Keenan. I'm hopefully saying that right. That seems pretty cut and dry. James, we have you there with us.
Hi, Chauncey. Hi, Kara. How are you?
Not bad. Good, good. You know, you just happen to have, like, one of my favorite – it's not even one of. It is my favorite topic. I am just sort of, like, enamored with – what could possibly have been in the past, just even beyond some of the mysteries, you know, just what we don't know because it degraded away, you know, that there's so many tens of thousands of years of stuff that could be there. And plus, I was
absolutely
influenced by J.R.R. Tolkien, this great Ralph Bashke film called Fire and Ice. You know, there's lots of stuff that definitely inspired me when I was younger. But Okay, so why don't you give us a rundown of what we're really talking about here, something so that our audience can really sort of understand what we mean when we say ancient anomalies pointing to past worldwide catastrophic events.
Well, sure. So in the past, obviously, you know, what we have in our history books is, nothing compared to what has gone on. And if you look around, you can clearly, you know, you can see in ancient artifacts, buildings, monumental structures, oral traditions, forms of writing, which my specialty is rock art, on paper, you know, other forms and religious texts and other forms of recording data, that there's these hints or these clues that what we know isn't the full story. And a lot of anomalies that pop up are always written off by anthropologists and archaeologists because it doesn't fit into their timeline or to, you know, what we've been hearing since the mid-1800s. And if you attempt to change that or, you know, try to introduce a new paradigm, think outside of the box, they get all ticked off with you. So then you end up having to go back and you research further and you find these ones and twos when it comes to scientists, you know, geologists. You'll find one or two archaeologists. You'll find physicists that break away from their group and start or begin to notice these anomalies, you know, these things that deviate from what is standard or normal or expected, and they start to clue in on what really most likely occurred. And we have such a small amount of history that's known to us, and they continue to try to push the matter that it started 6,500 years ago with writing and with ancient Sumeria when, you know, obviously from what it sounds like, Chauncey, you and I know it goes way, way further back. Unfortunately, these past civilizations and these past cultures were lost, and most of it was due to these massive worldwide catastrophes that took place. And the way that you see that is the hidden history, the anomalies are the same throughout the world.
All right. Hey, I got a question here before we lose, move on to the good stuff. You know, when we're talking about civilization and when civilization started, you know, a lot of people will cite the Bible, they'll cite Sumeria, but where do we consider civilization starting? You know, there's like a Göbekli Tepe that's like 9,000 years ago. There's and these numbers might be totally wrong, but there's some like Siberian proof of agriculture and some in China of making wine. When do we consider civilization is actually having taken place? Are we just talking a city, or what really defines that?
You know, like, and you brought it up too, Göbekli Tepe seems to be now what they're willing to go back as far as it was probably about 12,000 years ago. And what defines it is written language. You know, suddenly we've gone from small little pockets of having turned into Homo sapiens sapien to agriculture being present. Once you know, you have the agriculture, you have all that subsistent farming, then culture is able to branch out. So then you start specializing in things like blacksmithing, you know, different other types of arts and crafts. And at that point, then, you know, you bring into a barter system. You know, you start bringing on economics, and then you get religion in order to control the masses.
So, so why are people so willing to just let go of the idea that even as early as 25,000 years ago, that somebody built a wooden city, kept records on wood or paper, and that all got wiped away and eroded? Why are people so quick to say, "Hey, this didn't happen"?
You know, I think a lot of it comes to religion. I think religious beliefs play a factor when it comes to that. And also the fact that you know, when you have these people that carry a doctorate's degree telling the masses, hey, this is what happened, and you're constantly told they're the expert, they're the expert, this is what happened, you know, you start to believe, or, you know, as you and I know, you start to conform with that belief.
So how should we file these anomalies? You know, this, you know, I've read quite a few of these, which I'd like to cover with you in the next segments. But I read Forbidden Archaeology and stuff like that, and there was a big complaint about these anomalies being discarded. But how should we file them so that they're taken seriously? Because, of course, scientists have to come up with what they think based off of statistical likelihood and such like that. But we also don't want to lose track of these anomalies.
Right. And you know, like you said, they end up getting discarded or put away into a drawer on purpose. And, you know, when you think about it, how many of these anomalies does it take before you finally start realizing, wait a minute, maybe it's not the storyline that we have that's right. Maybe we need to open up our minds and start looking, you know, at what it's trying to show us. And you've got to wonder, I mean, how many of these anomalies does it, you know, take, or how many of these interesting artifacts that we're finding is it going to take until you get a larger degree of the anthropologists and archaeologists to say, hey, maybe we need to start investigating. You know, Göbekli Tepe is a good start. It's pushed us back, you know, thousands of years. And if you think about it, if they already were that advanced at that time, they're saying, hey, this was 12,000 years ago. Well, it had to have taken a lot longer to get to that point.
Right. And isn't 12,000 years just even by all conservative scientists? And when I say conservative for the audience, I don't mean political. I mean conservative, like mainstream science views. Isn't 12,000 quite beyond the last ice age? Isn't that well into a very drastically different looking world?
Well, it's in that younger dryas phase, the world about 14,500 years ago started heating up and things started changing. And then something happened. And that's kind of what I get into, that at that point, a major catastrophe took place. And you see that at about 12,800 years ago, we all of a sudden dipped into this ice age again, and it got cold quickly at that time.
All right. Well, we're coming up on to break here. When we come back, I'm really looking forward to asking you about some of these anomalies and us having a conversation about what they possibly could have been that caused these to go on. All right. So you're listening to James Keenan here on Radio Wasteland. We're talking about ancient anomalies pointing to past worldwide catastrophic events. So, you know, come on back.
title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest James Keenan. So, James, give us why don't we start off with an example of one of this that that we can all kind of wrap our brains around. Can you huck us an example?
So,
it sounded like you cut out there, or did I cut out?
think you cut out.
Okay. I was saying we're back here with James Keenan, and I'm asking you to give us an example of this ancient anomalies that we can all kind of wrap our brains around, especially so the listening audience can really sort of understand what we're talking about.
Sure. So my specialty is petroglyphs, rock art. And if you go to one of 100, one of 200 places around the world, you're going to find certain glyphs that are identical. And you kind of have to ask yourself, how is that possible? And then you have to start looking at the glyphs. And you have to start looking at the glyphs around it. You have to look at the age, because I'm looking for certain glyphs that are old. They need to be at that point or period where the catastrophes took place. So we're looking at about 6,500 years ago, 12,000 years ago. And these glyphs, what they're showing are plasma events that took place up in the sky, and our ancestors saw them, lived through the trauma, the events that took place because of it, and those that survived recorded it. And if they couldn't record it right away, it was passed down, you know, in oral tradition until somebody did actually put it in as a petroglyph or a pictograph onto, you know, something that lasts forever, which is rock.
Now, there's a lot of mythologies out there. You know, there's a Greek mythology. There's blah, blah, blah. The Norse, you know. You know better than I. what makes one – is it consistency? Is it connection to other parts of the world? You know, what makes one mythology sort of stand out as something that we're going to believe there's some fact in here, and other mythologies we say, you know, this is just the mythology or story writing?
And that's what's kind of interesting, Chauncey, because when you listen to the mythology, a lot of them are similar or identical. Like, you look at the Sumerians, and they had a very similar story as Noah and Noah's flood.
Yeah, the epic of Gilgamesh has always been the one that stood out to me as like, the, hey, something's going on here.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at... You can put ancient Olmec, ancient Maya, and compare it to on the other side of the world, and the stories are very similar. There's, you know, catastrophic events. They start talking about entering the underworld and hell having taken place. Well, you know, when you look at the rock art and the other things that go with it, you're looking at massive volcanic events that took place with magma coming up out of the ground. And it was a hell on earth. And, you know, people are talking about entering into the underworld. Well, you know, it's coming from an actual event that took place. Or, you know, you're talking about a deluge, a worldwide event. All the Native Americans, or most of the Native Americans, have the same type of story as the Sumerians, as the Egyptians, as, you know, those that were, you know, the Norse, the pre-Norse, you know, cultures. It's the same. There's minor discrepancies, and you have to remember that over time, you know, oral traditions change. So when you take into, you know, consideration thousands of years have passed, you know, that's a lot of time for, you know, stories to get mixed up, changed, differences of opinions and things of that nature to take effect.
Right. So really, you know, just off the top of my head, I can only think of two, you know, possible ways that we could have all been connected before and then scattered afterwards and had these things, you know, last for so long. One, of course, is, you know, aliens, which we're seeing with ancient aliens. And then the other is, of course, that there are ancient civilizations that rose and fell that we just don't know about. You know, what do you tend to, well, I'm sure you don't like to come up with an answer too much, but I mean, is there a possibility that you're leaning towards?
Well, and you know, when I lecture, you're going to actually get that from me as when you look at, and you know, one of the things that I studied a lot on was allele theory, deoxyribonucleic acid, RNA structures. And you've got to look around and you're like, how the hell are we the only species that evolved to where we are right now? You know, there have been millions upon millions of species for us to be it. There's no way, unless there was some type of genetic restructuring, recoding, and those alleles were restructured, you know, the DNA was changed. But how we got to that, you know, you're saying aliens or ancient civilizations, I don't have the answer, and I don't think anybody does. I tend to agree with you that, you know, maybe those are intertwined and are one and the same.
Right. And, yeah, the other one being floated around here is time travel, you know,
I'm more inclined to believe that we're talking about portals and interdimensional travel, because I personally think that that is more realistic than long-distance space travel, unless you're talking about artificial intelligence traveling through. And then there may be the ones that are restructuring, because you got to look at the history too. You look at all these, and these are the anomalies, these weird animals, like a unicorn that didn't make it, or you have these massive balls in Costa Rica that are huge. And, you know, archaeologists are telling you they're naturally made. Hell no. I've seen them. There's no way they were created. And the size, it had to have been a larger human-like creature. You know, are we to be the only ones here? Absolutely not. You know, people always, you know, you got to think the reptiles, the dinosaurs, they were here for hundreds of millions of years. How is it that maybe a part of them didn't gain this type of intelligence, this ability to think, and left or went elsewhere in the planet?
Or even, you know, I mean, there, one thing that we even know for sure on the conservative mainstream side is that there were other competing hominids, you know, that were competing at our same intelligence level on our way up. And, you know, what could have happened there? I don't know.
Yes.
So why – we only got about 2 minutes up until the break here, so – so is your real opinion that people are not open to this is purely scientific dynasties, like people building on the research of others, and they have careers and they don't want to be laughed out, and so that's why they hold on to it?
And that's exactly what I believe. You know, they've been taught to believe this. And, you know, when I was going to UCSB and I was taking anthropology and archaeology, you know, if I try to bring up any other type of opinion other than what the professor was told, you know, that he was told by his professor, and yada yada, this went on and on, they cut you off right away, and they just say that's, you know, it's ludicrous, it's impossible, stick to what we're telling you, we're the experts. But they've got to remember that social science is anthropology and archaeology, and it's completely subjective.
Right. Yeah, because I don't know. But, I mean, there is some hope there. There was a shift here recently with scientists, it seemed, for years saying absolutely no to aliens, to now all of a sudden you see these TV scientists and they're asked and they say absolutely there's probably something out there. You know, so they may not be on board with abduction or current visitations, but, you know, things are changing. Maybe people are getting a little looser. All right, we're coming up on break here with James Keenan. We're talking about ancient anomalies pointing to past worldwide catastrophic events. Come on back.
Bed each night, I wonder who you are, and so uptight. BNT Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at BNT Satellite. Call 241-3474. 241-DISH.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
BNT Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH, and find out more from BNT Satellite.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, James Keenan. So I guess this begs the question, and this is the big question. It seems like mainstream science pushes us back about 2,000 years every once in a while, especially here in North America for when it was occupied. How far back are we thinking human civilization actually goes?
Oh, gosh, if you look at what they found in Sumeria with the King's Tablets, it goes back 400,000 years.
So this tends to clash, you know, because this is where the real question comes in, because, you know, I kind of knew this was going to be the answer. So I'm kind of setting up our next question, and that is, how do we just
reconcile
the battle with the evolutionary science to the factoids that are going back further?
You know, that's a difficult question to answer, because you have two different factions. You have people like myself, like you, it sounds like, that obviously believe that there were other humanoid type people that lived here, that our history was lost, goes back a long distance, and then you have a lot of those people, you know, in universities, the scholars that are sticking to a very conservative timeline. And if we stick to them going back 2,000 years every decade or two decades, it's going to take a long time, you know, to get to where I believe we really started from, or at least where we're able to somewhat show some evidence that we existed, and we existed with greater abilities at some points than what we have right now, and I mean by technology. If you follow the catastrophes, you can, or at least I'm able to show us going back about 70,000 years with catastrophes that have caused us to lose, you know, our technology and go back into another dark age, and then it took thousands of years to build it back. But I don't know what it's going to take, and I don't think it ever will get to the point where everybody will agree upon, hey, this is it, you know, unless at some point maybe we find a different technology which allows us to slip back into the past, or, you know, go through some type of portal that was created, you know, and be able to get the actual answers. Otherwise, it's going to be, you know, presenting evidence, and if they want to accept it, they can, and if not, they're not going to.
Right. Yeah, I realize, and I also realize that the question I asked, of course, was very open-ended. I did not expect you to have an answer, because it seems like our world, our country specifically, is just full of these different ideas that can't reconcile with one another. So you got an event coming up here talking about what we've been talking about, which is ancient anomalies pointing to past wide world catastrophic events. I haven't made it through that one yet. In Tempe, Arizona. I used to live in Tempe. Tell us about that.
I do. That'll be next month on August 17th with Phoenix MUFON.
So is this a presenting situation where you come up, or is this some part of a larger event?
No, I'll be presenting to MUFON. I'll be the guest speaker for the month of August.
I see. So this is like touring.
About a 2.5-hour lecture going into, you know, into a lot greater detail and actually presenting the evidence that I have showing the petroglyphs, showing lost technology, and showing amazing places that, like, I just came back from Mexico on the west coast from Xihuacan, and this is a civilization that is just now being discovered that was lost. You're talking about an 8-square-mile area on the west coast of Mexico where they said there was never advanced cultures or civilizations, where we now have a 3,500-plus-year-old pyramid that is made out of a clay that has lasted this long without breaking up. And when they've tried to reproduce it, they haven't been able to do it so far.
Crazy. And I mean, that kind of harkens back to what we were just saying, where maybe we don't even need a new type of technology. Maybe eventually we'll just find those things. Maybe the technology from before actually made something that will hold an artifact to the point where it's undeniable as to how old it is. You know, maybe we'll get there. Let's keep digging.
Yeah, maybe we will.
Literally keep digging.
Yeah, I always wonder if we're reverse, you know, back engineering old technology.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I don't want to run out before talking about another book that you have here. But what's your take on the government maybe knowing more about our history? Do you think they have a stake in this, or do you think they're just kind of letting the scientific community do it?
Absolutely. I'm, you know, I've talked to a couple people, and from a lot of things that I see, I think they come across things. I think a lot of what was found in World War II came along with those scientists that they brought over, you know, in Operation Paperclip.
Right.
You know, things of that nature, they are not going to, you know, discuss. They've, you know, they've obviously found things that I'm sure have added to the current technology. You know, there was better, bigger, better thousands of years ago compared to what there is today.
All right. And before you go, I wanted to talk about this. Andrea told me about this just this afternoon before we were coming on here. She said that you wrote a children's book called The UFO and an Alien. This is something I've kind of entertained doing. what's this book all about?
Yeah, it's called The UFO and an Alien. And, you know, I've been going to, you know, things like the UFO Congress or MUFON. And you look around, and there are no children. There rarely is anybody under the age of 25 there. And I was like, I want to make sure that the next generations are set up to carry on, you know, what's going on now. We're losing some great people as they age, and there doesn't seem to be as much interest with the kids. So I wanted to, you know, along with teaching them, you know, certain morals and values, you know, in the book, also introduce them to ufology and introduce them to, you know, other paranormal type possibilities in the world. And I saw a lack of this, and so I decided, you know, what better way than to start introducing a series of books that does this through what I think is a pretty decent story, and, you know, also kind of plants that seed with them.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great idea, and it sounds like a fun idea, and I would totally buy one, but I got to tell you, I am so happy that my youngest is 18, and I am not going back. There are no more kids for this. I'm done. All right.
I hear you. Mine turned 18, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a relief. All right, so if you could give our audience a place where they can find out more about you, seeing how we're at the end of the show here.
Yeah, sure. So I have an author page on Amazon under James Keenan, the only one. And also I have my Facebook, James Keenan, or you can go to Dark Shadows and Catastrophes, which is the name of my first fictional novel. And you can find me at one of those three places.
All right. We'll be sure to share that at RadioWasteland.us and on Facebook and all those other things we're a part of. You've been listening to James Keenan here on Radio Wasteland, and we've been discussing ancient anomalies pointing to past worldwide catastrophic events. It only took an hour. All right. Thanks for coming on the show. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.